Quiet fell slowly across the court. The only sound, that of the four surviving maids-in-waiting, feeding on the bodies of the fallen elves. Lionstone called to them, and they came, clustering around her throne with bloody hands and mouths, like hounds called away from the kill. The Empress looked down from her throne at Stevie Blue, crouching torn and bloodied in the water at the base of the throne. She'd managed to draw her sword, but her hand was trembling violently from the shock and pain of her wounds. She stumbled forward, forcing herself on, her bloody mouth set and determined. Dram stepped in behind her and ran her through with his sword. Stevie Blue fell to her knees. She whimpered, and blood ran from her mouth. Dram pulled his sword out, and she shook once, as though at a sudden chill. Lionstone stepped down from her throne to kneel before her. She had an ornate silver dagger in her hand. She leaned forward till her face was right before the Esper's.
"Have you nothing left to say to me, Elf? About how weak I am, or how clever you were? No last declaration for the cause?"
Stevie shuddered again. Blood poured down her chin. When she spoke, only the Empress could hear her.
"I'll be back. There are lots like me. One of us will get you. Burn in hell, bitch."
Lionstone slid the dagger delicately into Stevie's heart, and breathed the Esper's dying exhalation into her own mouth, savoring it like a connoisseur. She pulled out the dagger, put her fingertips against the Esper's breast, and pushed. Stevie Blue fell back into the dark water and lay still. Lionstone straightened up, made the dagger disappear up her sleeve again, and allowed Dram to help.
Playlist, Haley Williams.
Elves never talk. They program their minds to self-destruct rather than give up any secrets. If anything, you gave her an easy death.
You always want to spoil my fun, Dram. She died in despair. That will do for me. For the moment, I'm more interested in how that many elves got past your security defenses.
A good question, and one which I will be putting to my staff very forcefully once this audience is over. I can only assume I have a traitor somewhere in my organization.
I thought that was supposed to be impossible.
So did I. If there is a traitor, I'll find him.
I hope so, Dram. Because if I can't trust you to protect me, what use are you?
Dram smiled and carefully dipped a finger into the traces of cream still on her face. He tasted it thoughtfully.
Brandy butter sauce, my favorite. If nothing else, the elves do have excellent taste.
Of course. Just ask my maids.
Owen lurched forward. He didn't know who she was or what she wanted with him, and he didn't care. A moment before he'd been ready to die, but now he'd found hope again, and he wanted to live. He could recognize destiny when it came calling. He could take a hint. He stumbled up the ramp, leaving a bloody trail behind him, and she yanked it up the moment he was clear and slammed the hatch shut. There were two sets of crash webbing just inside, and Owen sank gratefully into one as the woman threw herself into the other and jabbed frantically at the control panels. The ship lurched under him, engines roared, then they were up and off and moving. Owen let the webbing support him and studied his rescuer thoughtfully. The most obvious guess was that she wanted the reward on his head and didn't feel like sharing, but somehow he didn't think so. He supposed he should cautiously draw her out with clever questions and gradually determine what she wanted with him, but he didn't have the strength or the patience. So, when all else fails, be direct.
"I'm Owen Deathstalker. Who are you? And why did you help me?"
His voice sounded weak and thin to him, but if his rescuer noticed, it didn't show in her answer.
"I'm Hazel Dark. How I got here is rather complicated. I rescued you because I didn't like the odds you were facing. I've always had a soft spot for the underdog. What did you do to get so many people mad at you?"
"I've been outlawed. There's a very attractive price on my head, if you think you can take it."
"Relax, stud. I'm an outlaw, too. No way I could collect your price without getting topped myself. There's a lot of us about these days, but then that's the iron bitch for you. Deathstalker. That name rings a bell.
I should hope so. I used to be lord of this planet.
I'm impressed. I don't normally move in such high circles. Look, you got any ideas where I should point this tub? There are 5 ships right behind us and closing fast. I feel I should also point out this is a ship's escape pod and my power cells are almost dead, so don't start getting ambitious. We've got maybe 40 minutes of flight left, assuming I don't have to divert power to the energy shields.
Owen hesitated. You still haven't explained why you risked your ship and yourself to rescue me.
Underdogs have to learn to look out for each other because no one else will. An outlaw needs all the friends he can get. You'll learn that if you survive this mess. Life as an outlaw can be very enlightening.
All right. Head due north. There should be a large lake about 10 miles from here, unless I'm even more lost than I thought I was. Tell me when we get there.
He lay back in the crash webbing and fought to clear his thoughts. He had an ally now and a second chance at escape. If she could just get him to the Sunstrider, he might yet live to get his revenge after all. The thought stirred new strength in him, and he took a second look at his surroundings. Apart from the crash webbing, the control panels, and the bulkheads, there wasn't much to look at. It was all pretty minimalist, but it seemed solid enough. Presumably, there wasn't much point in wasting frills and fancies on an escape pod.
It's been a long time since I traveled in anything this primitive. What does it run on, steam?
Any more smart remarks like that and you can get out and push. Don't knock this tub, it's saving your ass and mine. Okay, forward sensors report a large body of water dead ahead. Rear sensors report a whole mess of people coming after us and everything that flies. You'd better have a plan to get us out of this, Deathstalker, because I am fast running out of options.
Relax, I have an ace up my sleeve, and it's a beauty. In fact, she's waiting for us at the bottom of that lake.
Hazel looked across at him sharply.
Wait a minute. We're going diving?
You got it. My private yacht is sitting in its own little niche right at the bottom, hidden from everything but heavy-duty sensors. No one knows it's there but me. Had a feeling it might come in handy someday. Paranoia doesn't just run in my family, it gallops. Part of the territory that comes with being a lord. Drop this thing in the lake and head straight down. I'll contact the yacht, lower her shields, and start powering her up. Your sensors will pick up the Sunstrider once you get close enough. Slip in next to her and fasten onto the outer airlock. She's special, my Sunstrider. Has all the power and facilities we'll need to make our escape, and then some. Once we're up and moving, nothing's going to catch us. Got her own hyperdrive based on a new, more powerful design that was only recently discovered. Only 12 ships fitted with it so far, and none of them anywhere near here. Cost a fortune, but I've always believed in going for the best. Take us down, please.
Hazel shook her head, smiling.
How the other 3% lives. Going down, Deathstalker. You better be right about this.
Trust me. Have I ever lied to you?
How would I know?
Owen laughed quietly as Hazel sent the escape pod plunging beneath the waters of the lake. Hazel watched the sensor panels carefully as the pod sank slowly through the dark waters, and then she leaned forward suddenly. Huge forms were rising up out of the depths toward the craft. They were hundreds of feet long, and according to the sensors, very much alive. They reached the escape pod in seconds and circled around it, moving unsettlingly quickly for things so large. Hazel's hands itched for some kind of weapon, but the beasts didn't seem to be attacking the craft or even warning it off. In fact, if she hadn't known better, she would have sworn they were escorting the ship down. A thought occurred to her, and she looked across at Owen.
According to the sensors, we've picked up an escort. Whatever they are, they're disturbingly large and quite definitely alive. Would you know anything about this?
He smiled tiredly.
They're behemoths from Virimon's oceans. I had the lake seeded with a breeding pair to discourage people from using the lake. I didn't want any diving teams stumbling over my hidden ship. I understand fishing along the shores of the lake has become regarded as a danger sport. The locals play it up as a tourist attraction. I should have applied for a percentage.
Hazel looked at him dubiously.
Then why aren't these things attacking us?
Because they're actually relatively harmless. They're big and ugly and have teeth like knives, but they're timid as hell. Say boo to them and they'd run a mile. Of course I don't tell anyone that. There's nothing to worry about. They're probably just curious about us. Ignore them.
Hazel looked as though she was about to say something cutting, so it was probably just as well that a flashing light on the sensor panels caught her attention. They'd found Owen's yacht. She eased the escape pod into position above it, and then let the onboard computer oversee contact with the yacht's outer airlock. The behemoths circled hopefully above them for a few moments, and then disappeared back into the dark waters. For a while, Owen and Hazel just lay back in their crash webbings, gathering their strength. They'd used up most of their reserves to get this far, and both of them felt like they'd been running on empty for some time. A bone-deep weariness held them in the webbing like iron weights. It was tempting just to lie there and escape the stress and strain of their situation in dreamless sleep. Owen slowly realized that if he didn't move soon, he'd just lie there until he bled to death. He forced himself up and out of the webbing, then roused Hazel from hers with harsh words and the promise of luxurious quarters inside the yacht. It took her a while to open the airlock with her burned hands, refusing his offer of help, and then she stepped back for Owen to lead the way. He grinned sardonically and stumbled toward the yacht's outer airlock on unsteady feet. He entered the correct security code, and the lock swung open. Owen stepped through, Hazel close behind. Lights turned themselves on as the ship sensed their presence, and Hazel stopped just beyond the inner airlock and gawped openly at the sheer opulence before her. Every form of convenience and luxury had been catered for in the ship's fittings, everything from rich furs on the floor to the very latest computer hardware. There was even an old-fashioned bar, all gleaming mahogany and cut-glass decanters. Owen grinned briefly at her reaction and waved her into the nearest leather-upholstered chair.
"She is a little beauty, isn't she? 150 feet long, 30 wide, with a reinforced gold-plated hull, and all the extras I could find in the catalog. Get your breath back while I find out if we've still got an AI to run things."
He accessed the ship's computers through his comm implant, contacted the standing's computers, and downloaded Ozymandias into the ship's mainframe. It all took less than a second, and he broke contact as quickly as he could, just in case something was lying in wait to follow him back. And then the AI's comforting voice was with him again, and he relaxed a little.
"Owen, dear boy, don't ever leave it that late again. Still, I'm relieved to see you survived this far. I'm afraid your standing is completely overrun and somewhat vandalized. The Imperial Codebreakers are currently trying to crack an empty shell I set up as a distraction, and probably will be for some time. But I think it would be in both our interests to get the hell off this planet as quickly as possible, if not faster. We have definitely overstayed our welcome, and it's well past time we were gone. I see you've acquired a new friend. Aren't you going to introduce us?"
"Hazel Dark,"
Owen sub-vocalized briskly.
"She's an outlaw like me. Give her low-level security clearance for the time being."
"Very well, Owen. With your permission, I'll start running the ship through some wake-up routines and get it ready to depart."
"Yeah, you do that. And keep the long-range sensors alert. If there's anything moving anywhere near this lake, I want to know about it."
"Hey, Deathstalker, this is some ship you've got here."
Owen turned his attention back to Hazel. She was slumped in the oversized chair with a large drink in her hand, like a rag doll that had been left too close to the fire.
"I could buy a dukedom for what this must have cost. The last time I saw luxury like this was in a top-rank brothel parlor back on Loki."
Owen winced, but managed a polite smile.
"I'm so glad you approve. Right now, I suggest we move into the next room. There's a certain little device there that will do us both a power of good."
Hazel looked at him suspiciously.
"This wouldn't involve a bed, would it?"
"Thanks for the interest, but no, I don't think either of us are in any condition for that. Please, step this way."
Hazel emptied her glass, let it drop onto the carpet, and struggled up out of her chair. Owen knew better than to offer her any help. It took her a while, but eventually she was back on her feet and swaying only slightly. In the sharp, unforgiving light of the yacht's main quarters, she looked worse than ever. Her clothes were scorched and tattered, and her burns were deep and disfiguring. Her hands were charred claws. He offered her his arm, and she took it as though she was doing him a favor. He led the way into the next compartment, a small, compact room dominated by a long steel cylinder, 8 feet long and 3 wide. Hazel studied it warily. It looked disturbingly like a body bank.
"All right. I'll bite. What is it?
Cell regenerator. Promotes rapid healing in minor injuries, and major ones, too, if you've got the time to spare. Works on the same principles used for cloning human tissues. Strictly forbidden for any but those of noble birth on pain of a very unpleasant death. Still, I won't tell anyone if you won't. You want to go first?
After you.
Owen grinned. He activated the necessary systems through his implant, and the cylinder split apart, revealing a surprisingly comfortable-looking interior. Owen climbed in, gave Hazel a reassuring smile, and lay back with a sigh as the cylinder closed itself over him. After that, it got very still and very quiet. Hazel looked about her. She had to keep fighting down an urge to sneak back into the other room, pick out the smaller valuable items, and stuff them into her pockets. She had a strong feeling that would be a bad idea. Partly because it would have been a betrayal of Owen's trust, but mainly because she had an extremely strong feeling that she was being watched. She leaned against the cylinder to steady herself and raised her voice.
Is there an AI on board this yacht?
Yes, miss,
said the AI through an overhead speaker.
I am Ozymandias at your service. How may I help you?
Tell me about Owen Deathstalker.
Head of the Deathstalker clan and lord of Virimond until his outlawing. A good man within his limitations. You can trust him to do what he feels is right.
That's rather vague.
That's Owen for you. He's never been a very positive person. Something of an underachiever, in fact. I have hopes the current emergency will bring out the best in him, if he doesn't get horribly killed first.
Hazel was about to say something rather cutting when the cylinder suddenly started to open, and she had to stand up quickly to avoid being thrown off. The sudden movement made her feel giddy for a moment, but she had it back under control before Owen could notice. He stood before her and struck a jaunty pose, and she had to admit he was looking a hell of a lot better. His injuries had healed with no trace of scars, and he had a new confidence in his bearing. Even his clothes had been cleaned and repaired. He smiled cheerfully at her reaction.
I told you, this yacht has everything you can think of, and a few things you never dreamed of. Climb in, and the machine will take care of you, too.
Hazel wasn't at all sure she liked the way he'd put that, but she didn't really have any choice, and she knew it. The shock that had protected her from the worst of her burns had worn off long ago. Every movement was agony now, and she was hovering on the edge of total exhaustion. She couldn't argue anymore, and anyway, sooner or later, she was going to have to trust the Deathstalker, even if he was a lord. She nodded stiffly to Owen and stepped clumsily into the cylinder. She lay down and gave herself up to fate with something like relief. She shut her eyes as the cylinder closed over her.
Do you want me to make any changes in the young lady?
Owen frowned.
How do you mean changes?
Well, there are several programs I can run while she's in the cylinder that would make her more tractable. Programs to make her loyal to you, for example, and prevent her from raising any weapon against you. They're quite safe and will do her no lasting damage. It's simply a matter of security, Owen. She is an outlaw, after all.
So am I. You leave her mind alone. That's an order.
Yes, Owen. As you wish.
Owen wasn't sure why he was so angry. The computer was programmed to look after his best interests. It was just doing its job. But Hazel had risked her life to save his, for no profit that he could see. No one had ever done that for him before, who didn't have to, and he wasn't sure yet how he felt about that. Until he was sure, Hazel Dark was under his protection, even from himself if necessary.
Anything new on the sensors?
Nothing so far. Your plunging into a lake has confused the hell out of them. I'm picking up all kinds of unprotected transmissions. Some think it was desperation. Others are suggesting suicide. Right now they're arguing about whether to wait for you to reemerge or go in after you.
Let me know when they make up their minds.
Owen stretched slowly. The cylinder had repaired all his physical hurts, but he was still mentally exhausted.
I still can't believe everything fell apart so fast. I seem to have gone through the only experience left for the man who has everything, losing it all. This has to be some kind of ghastly mistake. I've done nothing to be outlawed for.
Perhaps if you were to surrender yourself and offer to hand over Miss Dark as a sign of good faith...
No, I don't want to hear that kind of idea from you again. Besides,
I already thought of that. And it wouldn't work. They'd just take her and kill me anyway. Is the ship ready to go yet?
Yes, Owen. Ready for takeoff.
The cylinder opened, and Hazel emerged like a rather bedraggled butterfly from its cocoon. Her overalls had been repaired and looked cleaner than Owen would have thought possible. She allowed Owen to help her out, studying her now flawless skin with awe.
I know people who would pay a medium-sized fortune for access to something like this.
If we find ourselves dangerously short of money, perhaps you can set up a deal. Now, if you'd like to join me in the main compartment, I think it's time we get the hell out of here. Once we're up and moving, there's nothing on this planet that can catch us. Oz, take us up, and don't stop for anything till we're in orbit.
Yes, Owen.
Then where?
Hazel followed Owen back into the first compartment. He shrugged.
I was hoping you'd have some ideas. I'm new to the outlaw business. Where can we go where we'll be safe from the kind of people who'll be coming after me? And before you say anything, no, I am not interested in joining up with any rebel groups against the Empire. I am still loyal to the Iron Throne and the Empire, if not the Empress.
Nicely rationalized.
There's only one place we can go, Mistworld, the rebel planet. But it's a one-way trip. You'll be safe enough there, but no one ever leaves Mistworld.
Mistworld. I might have known.
Hazel looked at Owen inquiringly, and he shook his head.
Don't ask. Very well. For want of anywhere better to go, Mistworld it is. Set the coordinates, Oz. Let me know when we're ready to make the hyperjump.
Yes, Owen. We are now in orbit.
What, already? I didn't even know we'd taken off.
I told you this yacht was special. Oz, show us what's happening on the main view screen.
One of the walls became a view screen, showing Viriman far below, and an Imperial Star Cruiser heading straight for them. Even as they watched, a second Star Cruiser dropped out of hyperspace behind the first.
Two Star Cruisers? They sent two bloody Star Cruisers to get me! Cut me some slack, dammit!
There is a possibility this might have something to do with me. My previous ship rammed a Star Cruiser just after I got away in the escape pod. Presumably, they got a distress call out as they went down.
Thanks a whole bunch. Any other nasty little surprises you've been keeping from me? No, tell me later. Oz, shields up and go hyper the moment the power levels are steady. I don't know why they're not firing already.
Presumably, they're being extra cautious after already losing one ship. It's not something that happens all that often. They're trying to contact us. Should I talk to them?
It couldn't hurt. Lie a lot.
There's no way this ship can stand up to that kind of firepower, and there's no way we can get out of here before they open fire.
Not necessarily. This ship has a new kind of hyperdrive. Very powerful. Very fast.
Why do I get this strong feeling that there's a but hanging on the end of that?
But it's rather untested. No one's had a chance to use it much yet, and there's always the chance they haven't got all the bugs out. I always intended to take her on a long shakedown run, but what with one thing and another, I never found the time. And then circumstances rather caught up with me.
Great. Just great. If I had anything left in my stomach, I think I'd be sick.
All systems are ready, Owen. Or as ready as they ever going to be. Power's up and all tests are positive. I'm lying my head off to both Star Cruisers, but I don't think they're in a listening mood. Both are now in firing range. It's time to go, Owen. There's nothing left to hold us here.
The view screen filled with light as both Star Cruisers opened fire on the Sunstrider. Owen and Hazel winced instinctively.
Take us out of here, Oz. We're going to Mistworld.
And the good God grant us luck, because we're going to need it.
The Sunstrider dropped into hyperspace and was gone. And the Star Cruisers were left to orbit Viriman alone. Deathstalker is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1995, Simon R. Green. Published by arrangement with New American Library, a division of Penguin Putnam Incorporated. All rights reserved. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2002, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program. This program.